Welcome to the Swell Suite. We are live. We are here in Charlottesville, Virginia, on this beautiful day, sipping wine, tasting wine, judging wine, food, meeting new people, and just living our lives. Wish you all were here. And if you're not, you can live vicariously through us.
Guys, we are here at Days of Rosé. In Keswick, not too far from Charlottesville. Everyone is wearing their pink. We're drinking rosé. We're having a great time.
Yes, we are. And you know what? The Lord said, I'm just going to let it be a beautiful day today. Because we were a little nervous at first because it was very cloudy.
Right.
But the sun has come out and shining down on us because rosé and sunshine are... Yeah. Simultaneously, the best things
together.
Synergistically, they go together.
Yes, absolutely. So, Glynis, let's talk about what we just did.
Okay. We just did a tasting, and during the tasting, you went through six tables with two different rosés from different companies, and you, at the end, judged your favorite. So, Serena and I judged our favorites at different points in time.
Yes.
And believe it or not, we came up with the same one.
So, we got a poker chip. So, you vote by putting the poker chip in the box. So, we put the poker chip in the same box. Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you want to show the bottle?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, the bottle that I'm about to show, however, is their sparkling Blanc de Blanc 100% Chardonnay. However, we tasted their rosé, and it was very well balanced.
Yeah.
Acid, sugar, you know, tannin, 100%. It was actually 100% Cabernet Sauvignon, which is my favorite varietal. But this bottle is their Blanc de Blanc Chardonnay, which is actually very, very tasty as well.
Yeah.
So,
Eastwood. Yeah. This is my first time having Eastwood. I'd never had it before.
Me. My first time having it as well.
Yeah.
You can't. I'm doing my little wine happiness.
If you're in Virginia, come over to Days of Rosé. We're having a great time. Come chat with us if you're watching now. We're going to interview some other people who have sipped all the rosés and get their opinion, but it's a great event.
Exactly. So,
what's great about this event is you do the rosé tasting and you cast your ballot inside. Outside, they have all types of wine that you can purchase.
Right.
Of course, we bought bottles of things that were delicious. So.
And that we hadn't tasted inside initially. So.
Mm-hmm. Check back in with you. But yes, we are live from Days of Rosé. Cheers!
Cheers!
Hey, I'm Tracy Love. I work at Blenheim Vineyards. I also co-founded Enoverse with Reggie Leonard and do some marketing coordination with the Monticello Wine Trail. So we are all here today celebrating rosé.
Yes.
We're celebrating rosé at the Days Rosé. However, we went over to their tent, and their tent had other wines that they brought for us to taste. And in front of us today is the Blenheim Vineyard Sauvignon Blanc, Viognier, and what's the other grape?
Gruner Veltliner.
And it's delicious. Delicious. We are happy to have them here with us this afternoon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
We're happy to be here.
Tell us a short story about how you got into wine.
My wine journey started in restaurant hospitality, and then I wanted to learn how it was made and caught the bug. Started working at Blenheim about 10 years ago and have been there ever since. They haven't kicked me out yet.
She's doing something correct.
But I love it. I do our sales and marketing for the winery for the most part, but I help with harvest, and we're a small team, so everybody chips in.
How do you feel about Virginia getting all of this attention now?
It's great. I mean, you know, it's a relatively young wine region, considering everything happening in the world, and it's exciting to see change, you know, in a younger generation coming in, and cultural shift in wine, and the wines in Virginia and the Monticello AVA specifically, I think have really come a a long way once people know what they're doing and what to grow and what does well and what doesn't. And yeah, it's cool.
I totally
to see.
Agree. We actually tasted one of their rosés, but then walked outside and under their tent, they have other varietals. And again, it's not just about rosés for Glenham Vineyards. It's more also their whites. They have sparkling. They have red. So to our listeners, take time to experience Glenham Vineyards. If you're in Virginia, in the Monticello wine trail, because I think you will be very well surprised at how very well their wines are made.
Well, thank you. We're appreciative of that. We do a lot of, all of our wines are dry, but fruity. And, you know, we make everything from Cabernet Franc to the painted reds to rosé to a plethora of dry whites. You can find us around the state in D.C. and Maryland.
Outstanding.
And we ship to 38 states, I guess I should add, because you can get it dropped directly at your doorstop.
So can... Are your wines in Total Vineyards as well? Total Wines?
Not in Total Wines, but we are in Wegmans and Whole Foods are the two biggest retailers.
Okay, outstanding.
Very nice.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Yes. So before you go, tell everybody what's going on, what's happening next with Glenham.
With Blenheim, we are getting ready to redo our whole tent site and have a lovely outdoor space.
Wow.
We are also participating in the upcoming Monticello Wine Week from April 26th to May 3rd. So it'll be a series of events over the course of a week celebrating our wine region. And I think like 35 wineries participating. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
We're putting a lot of focus towards that. And
I love
hopefully
it.
Y'all can be there with us.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Yeah. Look forward to it.
Yeah.
Also, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media and where they can find Blenheim Vineyards.
Yep. We keep it pretty easy. It's just at Blenheim Vineyards on all of our social channels and then BlenheimVineyards.com.
Outstanding.
I love it. Yes, we are live here at Days of Rosé. Thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you. It's a pleasure
cheers.
To be here.
Thank you, Tracy. Yes. Welcome to the Swirl Suite again.
Yes.
We're recording live for Days Rosé out here in Keswick, Virginia, really close to Charlottesville.
Yes.
And we're about to interview Loving Cup.
Yes, please introduce yourself to everybody.
Hi, I'm Carl. I'm the vineyard manager, winemaker, delivery driver.
Oh my God, you do it all.
We're a small family. I mean, this is the story of Virginia wine. It's like you get a family and everyone's pressed into service, and the only way it works is that nobody gets paid for anything, and that's how we keep the lights on. Yeah.
Absolutely
marvelous. Can you see the sparkling? We tasted the rosé.
Yes.
In the right tasting, yes. Judging. Perfect. Scenario on the inside, and it has a gorgeous little dog on the front.
Oh my God,
the rosé is actually very, very good as well.
Mm. Tell us about that rosé.
So
tell us about the rosé.
We submitted that one as opposed to this one.
Okay, because this is wonderful.
This is very good, right?
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do is I wanted to put a rosé in the competition that was unlike everything else in the competition. Everything else is like crisp and fruity, and this one has gone through malolactic fermentation.
Okay.
So like the acid is all round and supple. This is full bodied.
Yeah.
And so this might be the better rosé, but I thought that rosé would, the rosé we submitted for the competition, would just stand out.
It was certainly memorable.
It was very memorable.
You might like it or you might not like it, but it's definitely different than everything else you tasted. And that was the whole point of putting it there.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about why you say it's organic and it's petrified. Let's talk about that.
All right, so the vineyard and the winery are certified organic. We're the only one in Virginia.
Really?
The grapes that we grow are hybrids. So they're disease-resistant hybrids that have a strong immune response to like all the various grapevine diseases that Virginia gets because of all the rains that we get.
Yeah.
And so if we grew Chardonnay and Cab Franc and like all these other common varieties in Virginia, we'd have to spray synthetic fungicides.
Yeah, sure.
So we decided how we want to grow grapes, and then we went backwards from there and said, what can we grow and still be organic? Mm. And so what we came up with are these varieties. Now, the varieties that are usually have quite a bit of acid, which works really well for sparkling, right?
Yes.
Right? So this is like the second sparkling. This next year we'll make a third sparkling because we have varieties that work really well for sparkling. But how do you make like your normal style of wines? If you make a rosé, it might actually be sour. So we happened a couple of years, maybe 5-6 years ago, it went through malolactic fermentation. All the acid got rounded off and it was super, super pretty. So we're like, oh, well, let's do this purposefully. So we didn't intend to do it, but it worked out. And we're like, oh, now this is the way we're gonna make this wine. So we're making a wine that makes sense for the varieties that we grow, and the varieties that we grow make sense for the organic practices that we have in the vineyard. Does that make sense?
It definitely does.
I think
it's interesting because typically people grow the grapes based on the land, and you did the opposite, kind of. The organic was really important to you. Why is that?
You ready for a long story?
Yes!
The folks asked in the tasting room, I said, well, it's going to take 15 minutes. All right, so I'll give you the short version.
Right. Yeah.
All right, so my dad and I have been making wine for ourselves for like 10 years, just from fruit from his garden, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, you know, just what we had, and then the fruit that we could forage or buy. I was working for vineyards at the time, but had never thought about making wine from grapes. Like, that's what serious wine's made from. We were just making wine for ourselves.
Yeah.
And so I finally got grapes, 300, 400 pounds of free grapes from the vineyard I was working for. It was the best wine we'd ever made. And on top of that, it was the easiest wine. Like, fruit wine is really hard to make because, like, grapes have everything you need. They've got the acid, it's got the sugar to get the alcohol, and it's like, it's a balanced wine. But you make wine from fruit, and you need to add tannin, add sugar, add acid. Like, it's a recipe wine.
Right.
And then at the end, it still might not be something you want to drink. Mm-hmm. But grape wine is just good.
Yeah.
And it was so easy to make, and it was the best wine we made. So, let's plant some grapes for ourselves. Up to that point, we had been organic. My dad's garden had been organic in that, like, he planted, he occasionally pulled bugs off, and then he harvested. Like, there wasn't, like, a spray program or anything like
that.
It was just like a normal garden in your backyard. And so when we said, well, we want to grow grapes that way too. But I would talk to the people I worked with. They said, you can't grow grapes that way because there's no shortage of diseases or insects that are just going to, if you turn your back on your grapes, you're not going to have grapes at the end of the season.
Yeah.
You can have Concord in the backyard, but the birds are going to get them or the disease or whatnot. But if you're growing a vine in your backyard, you don't care if you get a bunch of grapes or a few grapes because they're just whatever you have in the backyard. But that's not how you run a winery.
Right.
So at the initially we were like, oh, we're just gonna put 100 vines in the ground and whatever we get from it. And we started talking to the folks that we knew and realized we'd have to spray a lot of stuff on these vines, like things that we weren't necessarily comfortable with, particularly since we weren't doing anything to like the normal garden. At that point, it seemed like it was selfish. Like, if we were gonna spray things, I'd be taking things home on my clothes.
Oh, right.
And then it was during that winter that we were thinking about planting grapes that my wife got pregnant. And I was like, oh, now
I really can't do this.
Well, because then it's like, it's selfish. Like, it's my clothes, it's gonna be like the kids' endocrine system. Is it like, we would just forget about it. It was a goof. We don't have to do it. We didn't order vines.
Okay.
And then we realized, oh, we know a vineyard consultant. So we asked him, what can we do? And he said, well, you can look at these disease-resistant grapes, you can look at soft sprays. And before we knew it, we had come up with this system that kind of worked for 100 vines, and we got a consultant for 100 vines. We had a monthly consultant. And granted, he lived just down the road from us, and we knew him for a couple decades. So, yeah, for like this backyard garden vineyard, we got a consultant and we started growing grapes organically. And as soon as we started doing it, we realized no one else is doing anything like this.
Yeah.
Man, if we don't mess this up, we might have something.
Right.
Now, we're still very small. We're still just 4 acres right now. So, like, we're on the tiniest side of, like, Virginia's tiny, and we're tiny within Virginia, right? But we gotta be small because we do everything the hard way. Like, everything, we do things by hand. Like, we see insects, we pick them out.
Wow.
You know, we see a disease, we pick it out.
Wow.
Because we can't just, like, farm from a tractor. We can't just solve our problems from a tractor.
Right.
We have to be on the ground every day. We have to understand how not only grapevines work, but how disease, you know, every disease forms differently and manifests itself differently. Got to know all the life cycles for all the insects and be able to recognize them. And like, it's a lot of work, but it's we are connected with the vineyard in a way that maybe you wouldn't be if you were farming from a tractor.
As an environmental scientist by education, for me, so I, full disclosure, I haven't been to your winery. So with that, my question is, other wineries or other lands around you, are they organic as well?
We're the only organic in North Carolina, and there's one in Vermont, and that's it. For
your vineyard, from being impacted by other farming practices.
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're not like Napa, where it's vineyard.
Right.
Vineyard,
okay. Right.
So the closest vineyard to us is 2 miles away, and okay. So it's far enough away where you don't have to worry.
You don't
about
have
that.
Runoff, are they?
No, okay. No. It's they're over the hill from us. The next door neighbors all around us, nobody's farming.
Okay.
It's just houses, pasture, and woods.
So this is true to our listeners. This is true organic farming. As the environmental scientists in this group, this is a question I always ask. Because people always say they're organic, they're environmental, blah, blah. But if you have runoff from a vineyard or a farming community coming down into yours, you can't get away from the difference of having impact of non-organic practices into your event.
Well, there's also wind, like it's a windy day, right? So you know, you have to think about it as well. But you know, we're far enough away, we don't have to worry about drift or anything
right.
like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And our next door neighbors, like we control one whole side of the property,
oh, nice.
And then the folks who are on the other side, they know what we do. And,
okay.
And every once in a while, I ask, hey, we haven't done anything, have we? No. Like we got you. You know, they'll take
this is true organic farming here.
Yeah.
But we are lucky in the place that we're at. If we did have vineyards on either side of us, it would be a lot harder to be organic.
Yeah. Really quick, tell us what's in this bubble that we are drinking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, but you finished
gone.
Yours.
Yeah. Oh, I still got a little bit of mine.
All right, that's all I got left. Oh. All right, so this is a pet nat. This is a sparkling wine that's made where the bubbles are coming from primary fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
So like normal champagne method, you finish your wine, you fine it, you filter it, and you're about to bottle it, but you put a little bit of yeast, a little bit of sugar in it, you get it bubbling again, and that's when you bottle it. All these bubbles are from the first fermentation, from when sugar is getting converted to alcohol, right? And so this is also known as ancestral method, but it's Pétillant Naturel, is what it's called. So that's what these bubbles are from the first fermentation. You capture, on the very last day, you're capturing the late fermentation esters, you're capturing the bubbles, and that's what we make. Now, we made this all in-house, so a lot of the sparkling wine here, if you're making a sparkling wine, you have to send it to get it disgorged and get the dosage and get the mushroom cork in it. But we had to figure out how to make everything in-house so we wouldn't lose the organicness of the product.
Yeah.
As soon as it leaves our property, you know, as a bulk wine, we can't bottle as organic. So we had to figure out how can we make this. So this is the second pet nat that we have a sparkling white, a sparkling rosé. We're in the works. It takes us a couple of years now. We'll have a sparkling red soon.
And what was the grape?
All right. Cayuga White and Corona Noir.
Wow.
So again, two varieties that are not.
I've never had that grape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Corona Noir, we talked about that.
Inside. Because I kept coming back to it.
In the other rosé?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is that grape native to Virginia, or tell us about that particular grape?
So it developed at Cornell. Not like, it's not GMO, because you can't use GMO in organic. It's from classical breeding, the way Mendel made peas, right? So they just take the pollen of one grape, dust it, they emasculate the flower, and they dust it on the flower, and then they get a grape. So Cornell has a grape breeding program in Geneva, New York.
Right.
And this came out in 2006 or so, and we in 2007, that's when we were thinking, hey, what grapes can we plant that are disease resistant? So the year before, they had just released that variety. So if we were asking that question, hey, what grapes can we grow organically, a couple of years earlier, we wouldn't have had an answer.
Wow.
Because two of the varieties that we grow were released the year before we were asking that question.
Wow.
So it was very fortuitous. But anyhow, so this is co-fermented. We have the grapes, the red wine grapes, floating around in the tank with the white wine juice. and so it's leaching out that color. And after like
it
was like 12 days of fermenting during that co-fermentation, at that very last day we put it into a different tank, a bright tank, it holds that pressure, and that's where we're getting the pet nat from.
I love it.
Last question for me. Let's talk about the label and the name of the vineyard. Tell us about that.
All right, so the heart and the shield are from my dad's hometown in Virginia.
Okay.
So in Europe, they make crests on everything, right?
Exactly.
All right, so his town, we just celebrated the 700th anniversary of the town. In Europe, everything's old.
Oh,
right?
They're right. Yeah. We're young over here.
So for 700, everyone went back to the town to party for like a whole week.
Right.
Anyhow, so it's like the flag, and it's got like a laurel wreath and a crown,
right.
And
your crest
and the heart shield. So we borrowed the central elements from my father's hometown for our label, but it wasn't the purpose. Like, the first vintage we made at a neighboring winery. Not a neighbor, a winery that I had worked for before. And they gave me a little corner of their winery and let me bring my tanks in so I could make our very first vintage. But I had to keep our equipment and my bins separate from theirs. So I stenciled, because it's easy, a heart and shield. So I stenciled with spray painted on my bins. It was like, well, we don't have a logo. Like, we don't really exist yet. So I stenciled that. And then had no thought that would actually be our logo. But then we had to come up with a name. We need a name that's organic, but all the good names are taken. But we didn't want it to be cliche, like Green Valley, or like something that would be on a milk carton. So after 3 years of trying to figure out what name could we trademark. So, because you can't put a name on a wine label that's not trademarked, because the wine industry is super litigious.
Oh,
you put it on there, and like Waterford Crystal, they sued the Waterford Winery to get their wet name taken off, right? So we knew that you needed a name trademark. After 3 years, we finally had something, and it was listening to a Rolling Stones song, the Rolling Stones song "Loving Cup," and I would, you know, I was pruning or doing whatever, and I played it for my wife, and she said, "Why isn't that in our name?" I said, "I don't know." So it was available. So we trademarked Loving Cup, and it happened to be fit with the logo that we had tentatively planned on.
Mm-hmm.
So the logo is something that means something to my family, but it also corresponds to the name that happened to work for us.
I love it.
All our stories are long, I'm sorry.
No, that's outstanding. So I'm gonna give you a little a personal experience for me. What I like about this, it's so clean.
Yeah.
I've had natural, organic wines that I almost threw up on.
Yeah.
I'm not, and this is no joke. So it made me step back to tasting them, because I was scared to get sick. Mm. This is so very clean, so very food forward, and it's still exhibiting the acid and the characteristics of what a sparkling wine should be.
Yeah.
And I want to say thank you for putting a wine out that is okay, that won't make people sick to taste a natural wine or an organic wine. I'm telling you, woo, I was sick as a dog. I'm not
with gonna... natural wines. It was a rough start.
It was a rough start. It was a rough start. And I'm talking about for years.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard. I mean, we started putting our toe in the water with natural wines also because it's you hope and you pray that it's okay by the time you pour it to a customer.
Yeah.
But thank you. Like, the first goal is to make something flaw-free, something that's not bad. And then we were making, my dad and I have been making wine for 10 years before we started this. We made a lot of bad wine.
Yeah.
But when you make bad wine on a small scale, it's like, oh, we messed that up.
Let me try it again.
Let's try better next year.
Yeah.
And so like we really were able to cut our teeth, and neither he nor I were trained on how to grow grapes or make wine.
You did a real good job.
You do it, you read books, you talk to people, and that's what's super nice about this industry. like, right. Everybody helps himself and helps each other. Pardon me.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. Like, we all help each other. And I know it sounds kind of cliche because everyone says it, but it is a collaborative industry.
Yeah.
And you can ask to borrow someone's equipment. You can say, hey, something happened. And you bring a bottle of it and say, What happened?
Yeah,
like,
right.
And like, folks make time for you because they understand that someone helped them 5 years ago, and
exactly.
Now it's their turn to help someone else.
Yeah.
And so we are lucky, and it might be the same with craft distillery, mm-hmm. distilling, and craft brewing. At least the way it is right now in Virginia with the farm wineries is everyone can help each other.
Yeah.
And it is a super supportive environment to learn.
Yeah.
And. I know that's how we were able to do this without like formal education.
Yeah.
Loving Cup to our listeners. Loving Cup Sparkling Rosé Petulant Naturel is excellent. The rosé with the dog on the front of the
it's label.
You guys want to know about the dog?
Let's talk about the dog.
Right. So. A Dudley nose, if a dog's born with a pink nose, it's called a Dudley nose. It's a lack of pigmentation. It's a genetic defect, mm-hmm. right? So there's this shelter that we work with south of us, and every year they give us a picture of a dog with a Dudley nose that's been adopted through the shelter. We put a picture of that dog on the label, and then $2 of every bottle that we sell of that wine, we donate to the shelter.
Wow.
So we get to promote them because they adopt out a 1,000 dogs. It's a tiny rural shelter, right?
Yeah.
They find forever homes for 1,000 dogs and cats every year.
Mm.
So we get to talk about them, and we get to donate some money to them from the sales of the wine.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
I love it.
The rosé was good.
Yeah.
It was great. So, Loving Cup. So, tell our listeners where they can find you all on social media and where your wines are distributed.
Right, so we're tiny, so we are not widely distributed,
mm-hmm.
particularly not up in D.C.
Yeah.
So I think Fredericksburg is as far north as we go.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if folks are coming down to Central Virginia, they should come visit us.
Okay.
We have 12 plus wines on the tasting list. Dry, sweet, red, white, sparkling, dessert wines, all from our organic grapes that we make 100% on site.
Oh, wow. That wind is whipping.
So if folks, they certainly can go to Wegmans and get like a couple of wines to have at Wegmans. That's great,
yeah.
particularly on the weekdays. But come visit us and you can taste everything.
I love it.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Carl. Yes.
Thank you for everything. We appreciate you taking the time to come over to talk to us.
Yeah.
And yes.
Everybody check out Loving Cup.
Loving Cup.
At LovingCupWine.com.
Y'all doing? Looking at me, looking at you, looking at me.
This is gonna be good.
Okay. So what brings y'all to the Days of Rosé?
Beautiful weather, and I'm not a big wine connoisseur, but I want to kind of like get in the vibe of it just because liquor can be a little hardcore. But wine, you can sip it, vibe. And a bottle of that could take you all night. A bottle of liquor, shit. We'll have to go home and take a nap. Yeah.
Fold it.
Yeah, so just a good energy, good vibes, and just a beautiful area. We wanted to try something a little different, and we didn't disappoint at all.
So let's talk about what you decided to sip on. So you're doing rosés. What was your favorite, and what did you decide to buy bottles of?
So I took a couple of taste tests, but the chestnut oak was the one that really stand out.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay.
And it was very good. So I decided to go with this. Nothing else. So
nice.
They could be mad at me, but they'd be
okay.
We did the 21 rosé at first. We tried that. It wasn't as fruity because, like I said, I'm just getting started. Yeah. So I wanted something to taste a little good. So instead of doing the 21, we wanted the 22. This is the Monticello Ava Rosé.
Nice fruit. It's fruitful. It tastes like fruit.
Yeah,
it's fruitful.
It's nice.
So
can't go bad with rosé.
Is this your glass?
That's rosé.
That's a big glass, ain't it?
No, it's okay, because he doesn't have a bottle. The two of you have
but
a bottle.
But I'm about to get a ring.
That's because this is right here.
All right, okay, I'm just trying to figure out where the bottle was.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
It's great, though. Again, rosé, I think, especially like they like this, like rosé is fantastic.
I'm sorry, back up. What are your names? Just first name.
My name is Thomas.
Thomas.
Marcus.
Denzel.
Oh, that's your real name.
Hold on, wait, hold on.
Denzel seems so strong. That's like what.
Hey, parental advisory.
Are y'all related?
No, we're not. We're just
okay. All I just friends. Noticed the similar necklaces.
Yeah, I was about to ask about those.
I was going to ask about
those. Oh, I was going to say, why you asked that? Because I'm light skinned. You're nice if I was.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Nah, I lost my mother.
Okay.
I lost my dog and I'm 2020. Anything about dogs is dog tell too. Them all your problems, then we'll tell anybody.
Yeah, it's true.
This is my best friend.
True.
Even
when
you
were
best friend,
that was a good
ass.
Yeah.
Dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
October 23rd.
You know what I mean?
Are you a Libra?
Yeah,
first day Scorpio.
So oh, woo, woo, woo. You were close. 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 October 5th.
No, you okay. Lying. No, she
I'm
lying.
March 7th. My dad is
no, she lying.
March 2nd?
7th.
7th. March?
Yeah.
March 7th.
They don't do it, no. Yes.
That's my birthday. That's why I said it like that.
Literally.
I swear to God.
Denzel.
Happy birthday.
They don't work.
No. Not on, it's not recorded. Oh
so what brings okay, you gentlemen?
Happy birthday.
I got you.
So what brings you gentlemen to Rosé festival of this sort? Because let's be honest, you don't see men, African-American men, coming to wine festivals like this. So what I appreciate is seeing you gentlemen here.
Yes, ma'am.
And enjoying changing the narrative. What brings you here?
I think that's it, just it though.
Changing the narrative.
I think that's what it is.
I think that really was.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
But besides supporting friends and just trying a new path, and
I feel like a lot of
trying
guys
to change the wines.
No, I'm agreeing. Yeah, and I just feel like a lot of guys don't. They don't want to step out the norm. Like, if you make this the norm, I feel like they will fall in love with it. I said fell in love. Yeah. Fall in love with it.
Fall in love.
Yeah,
okay.
This is just like the norm that we want to start doing. Just get around different vibes, different energy. I feel like it's such a happy place. Rather than just being like in the...
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The same grind.
Yeah, the same grind. That's it. That's it. Because I love it all. I'll be
if
honest
you don't expand, you will never know.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
This is true.
You gotta try different adventures.
What I like is,
it's not even spicy.
You know I do this.
Yeah.
Hey, this is my land.
It's the different brands of wine that you picked out.
Yeah.
It is. It is.
For sure.
I like that.
Yeah.
Want to try something?
We all different.
But we doubled up on this one. Though. I will say that we did double up on the 22. This is something I definitely recommend. I like this a lot.
Gotcha.
I think changing the narrative is great, though.
And so, my last question for y'all, because we got a winemaker waiting, but what wine do you usually drink? Are you guys wine drinkers on a regular?
I drink once in a blue moon.
So that's
really,
a no.
I like the Snoop Dogg brand.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Not bad at all.
Okay.
It's not bad.
I'm a red guy. Dinner,
all
mistake guy. So
okay,
like the
bed. Gotcha. Yeah.
All right. Honestly, I'm just trying to find out what I like and what I don't.
I love it. It's very honest. That's honest. And you won't know until you drink.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
For sure. Just
I love it.
It's like, since it's so many like vendors, you're not pressured just to go to one and be like, you know what, I'm gonna get in like
right.
taste test.
Yeah.
Everybody's cordial. I love it. So
yeah.
After today, I'll be a wine connoisseur.
I love it.
Right.
I think I am too, though, bro. I ain't a lot of game, but I know I'm going to start drinking wine after today. all type of different flavors, man.
So keep your minds open and tents that are out.
And I feel like festivals really, like, showcase it, too, because a lot
they
of
do.
Times, like, you just don't want to go to a bar or a restaurant and say, hey, can I get
for
a
sure.
glass of wine?
Yeah.
That kind of scares it away. But once you have, like, wine festivals, I feel like you don't know how much you'll love it until you actually try it.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's for everybody, and it's not for like one
it.
Genre, it's for
everyone.
That is it. Guys. Thomas, Marcus, Denzel.
Yes,
thank you
thank
for
you
joining
so
us, World Suite.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Pleasure.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Okay, I'm Jody Mills. I'm the general manager of Southwest Mountains Vineyards. We opened 6 months ago today.
Wow.
Not even 6 months, but we've been making wine since 2017. So, you know, grapes were planted in 2016. Fortunate enough that those grapes produced the first year out. Beautiful Chardonnays, beautiful Viogniers. That first year. So we've been planting, you know, we grow in grapes and making wine for a long time now.
Nice.
So what made you all decide to plant in this AVA versus other AVAs?
So it was purely, I think it started off as a little bit more of a hobby for our owner. We're literally right down the road here. So on 22-231, that whole Keswick environment, owner of, you know, where we are today at Castle Hill, and our owner are really good friends.
Okay.
And so I think it was more of here. And so I think that there was just that experience, that love, and he said to our owner, hey, I've done that before, maybe we can just put some in. And so we hired a gentleman named Carl Tinder, who does vineyard management, and he got together the grapes and put them in, found this right soils right around this Arbet barn on the property, which is now our tasting room, and said, let's make it happen.
Wow.
And then that turned in, that, you know, that was just this small group, and now we're at 50 acres on the property. So we planted in 2016, 2018, 2020, and combined over three estates, we have, we're going to plant 10 acres this spring, so we'll have 90 acres under vine.
And so what wines do you produce at this point?
Oh gosh, so all of the old world style, you know, grape varietals that you would, you know, think of, right? So Cab Franc, Petit Verdot, Viognier, Merlot, Chardonnay, Petit Mensang. Mm. We actually do grow a Gruner as well on one of the properties, which is fantastic. So, you know, all over the place in terms of those old world varietals.
In this area, what do you feel is your main grape that proliferates more?
You mean the biggest producer?
A producer, yes.
The biggest producer, I would probably say, in terms of the crop production, Viognier is not that one. We do get a tremendous amount of Merlot. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, you get different varietals that make the rosés, but our main grape in our rosé is a Merlot, right? And then you just had a sip of that red blend. And
that
you have to admit,
there's
some really great, you know, flavor profiles in that grape. And typically a red blend, you know, you're going to find that in a lot of different places.
Exactly.
And in a lot of different places, they call that a Meritage, right?
Right, the Meritage.
So here we are. That's just a glorified name for a really beautiful, high-powered red blend. And I think I shared with you when we were over at the table, ours is a red blend and only called a red blend because at the time we were growing the grapes on the property, but we weren't putting this there and why we couldn't call it an estate red.
Outstanding.
Well, thank you so much for stopping in to see
us. Yeah, you got it.
So, how are you enjoying the days of
Rose? I'm working, so I love it because I get to meet nice people like you guys, right? And people that haven't seen us yet. They say, oh my gosh, I'm proud of you, but I haven't been there yet. And then other people that have said, oh my gosh, we love it there. We've been there two or three times already. Nice. And you know that means something to them.
So tell our listeners who don't have an exposure to you.
Yes.
Where they can find you on social media and
absolutely. We're smvwines.com. Okay. We're Southwest Mountains with an S, Vineyards with an S at the end. So get that right too when you're looking
right.
at when you're putting that in for Facebook and things, and then for Insta, it's smv.wines.
Outstanding.
Yeah, right. And we have a presence on website. You can buy wines on the website. We will ship them to different places. So, and we also you'll start seeing us a lot of different places because we use Winebow as our distribution.
Okay, perfect.
And Winebow will start having us up in Maryland and DC and lots of different places.
Hey, my name is Andre Marable. I'm the founder and owner of the Pack Road Trip Travel Club. And I do trips and tours, wine tours, food tours, history and culture tours all around the US and Canada.
Wow, outstanding. So let's talk about your tours. Are they only wine? Are there also experiences outside of wine?
Both, experiences outside of wine and with wine. So we've done tours to the Essence Festival, and while in New Orleans, we've done tours around the city, surrounded by history, culture, food, and wine, also down there.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah.
All right, and where are you based?
Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so not too far away.
Yeah.
How's the date time? I guess is my
question. The good thing about my trips is free to join the club. Anybody can come. You pick and choose which trips you want to go on, and you just come on the bus and have a good time. It's mostly motor coach. We are starting to do flights, but I just want people to have a good time, get out of the house, and experience something different.
Okay.
Because Virginia has some beautiful wineries, beautiful wine country, and people need to see the beauty in this state.
So what made you start doing this? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, my friends, actually. So I'm usually like the planner with my friends whenever we do trips.
There's always a planner.
Yeah. And they were like, you got to do this full time. You know, like, you really are good at this. You give us amazing experiences that we normally wouldn't have if we were to do it ourselves. So that's how I got started. My friends pushed me into the industry.
Nice.
Never was on the radar, but it just kind of happened.
I love it. And how long have you been doing this?
10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you must be very good at it.
Or
love it.
Right. I do love it. I love taking people to new places and showing them new things they normally wouldn't see, you know?
And what's the farthest destination that you planned so far?
We've been up to Detroit, down to New Orleans, been up to Toronto, Canada.
Nice.
Mostly the East Coast.
Okay.
East Coast? Yeah, but every now and then we'll venture out a little west.
I love it.
Yeah. Outstanding.
And you came to Days of Rosé to just experience the Virginia wine, the rosé?
Yeah, and drinks a good rosé.
Yeah.
I've always been a big supporter of Matt and all that he's done since he's been in the industry.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if y'all interviewed him or talk about why he started this.
He was on the podcast not too long ago.
Yeah, he's busy, but I want to come out and just support him. I love supporting us. That's one thing I said when I started my business, is I wanted to support us.
Yeah.
Well, we thank you for taking the time out to talk to us and tell us about your business. So tell people where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, so my business is the Pack Road Trip Travel Club. You can find me on IG at the Pack Travel Club, Facebook at the Pack Travel Club, and those are the two main social media outlets that I use for advertising and showing my personal adventures online. And I want to thank you for having me.
Of course.
We appreciate it. We totally appreciate you stopping by.
Cheers to you.
Cheers.
Hello.
So, introduce yourselves to everybody. What's your name?
My name is Alexis. I'm a Kiwi from District Heights.
Oh, okay. We're from the area.
Oh, yeah.
That's
probably why I think you all look so familiar.
Awesome. I'm from D.C. I'm from Deanwood.
I live in Maryland. Okay. I live in Silver Spring.
Awesome.
So what brought you to this particular wine festival?
Instagram.
Instagram marketing worked.
Yes. And from my recollection, it was a sponsored, you know, as I'm going through my stories, it was a sponsored ad. And that's how I found it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So are you normally wine drinkers or?
Champagne.
Sparkling wine and champagne.
I'm a wine girl.
Okay.
You're a wine girl.
And what regions? I'm curious.
Well, I mean, my thing is, like, I'm not a wine drinker. Like, I really like tequila and champagne.
Okay.
But, you know, she invited me, and so I was just like, sure, why not? So took the
2.5 hours
drive.
Yeah. It's a drive out here.
Yeah,
that's why we're asking, because this is a hike.
I hear you, my sisters.
Yeah.
I was driving over, I was like, oh my God.
We can't stop.
Yeah,
I told her, I was like, where do you have
me? Yeah. I love it. So what did you have to stand in the line to vote for the rosé?
We got out of line.
Yeah,
we left. Yeah, we got out of line
because
it was ridiculous.
Oh,
we
okay.
Going to the different tents.
Yeah, the tents, and then that's how we ended up finding
King. Yeah.
This rosé group, which was amazing.
Yeah.
So we tasted all the tents first, and then we ended up coming to this one.
Yeah.
Which was my favorite, and we landed on this one. So.
Got you. Okay.
And I have one myself. I'm not sure of the name, but
it's pretty cool as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful Nubian sister sitting in front of us, handling her business here at this rosé
Wine Festival.
Yeah, my name is Monique Samuels, and I am here representing my company, Melee Essentials. I sell 100% pure therapeutic essential oils and other self-care products that are all infused with essential oils. They're holistic grade. You can use them topically. You can diffuse them. And not only do I sell the oils, I also educate people about them through my website and my YouTube channel.
Okay.
So they have some healing power.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, sorry y'all. Y'all can't smell them if we're sitting here like.
Yes, I'm wearing the Millie signature scent right now. It's one of my favorites. So it's like it smells good, but then you're also healing at the same time. It's giving you a nice zen feeling. It's calming down anxiety, and it helps you to function throughout the day.
I'm on my way over there after this to
she
buy my
amazing,
stuff.
Guys.
Thank you.
Are you a wine drinker?
I used to be a wine drinker. Okay. I was a big red wine drinker. And then as I started to shift in my diet, I was going more towards plant-based. I was pescatarian for a while. And then once I gave up the fish, I've been completely plant-based, and it's been very hard to drink, you know? So it's like my palate just changed. So I still love watching people drink, you know, having a nice glass and just like kicking back. But my body just can't handle it. Anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you still fit in this in like this scenery.
The environment.
Yeah. I know how to act the part, you know?
Right. Outstanding.
Yes.
And you're on the radio.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm on WPGC Good Morning Show every morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Yeah. So yeah, we're working the morning drive and inspiring people through the airwaves. It's funny, I always have my diffuser going in the studio. So
Most definitely.
It's one of the first things I do when I come in the studio.
Yeah.
I set the diffuser, I use fresh home scent, lemongrass, and bergamot. That's like the best scent. That's what
I've
been diffusing today.
Bergamot is my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are coming up, they're walking as they're leaving the line for their rosé, and they're like, what is that smell? Oh my God, that smells incredible. So, which is a compliment because with the space being so large, so many smells going on, and you still smell the essential oil, so it's nice that it's here.
I love this for you.
You look wonderful.
Me
too. And it's like she's transferring all of her products into positive energy.
And her energy is resonating outside of the smell.
You don't drink anything.
I did have a little sip of one of the raspberry rosés. It tastes really good. It was nice. It's just not my thing anymore. But I was a big, I used to drink red wines heavy. And one of my favorite wines, and people know, Canis was like my stuff.
Oh, well, okay. She just bougie as hell. She's drinking Canis. And that's my girl.
I love me some Canis. That and Dancing Bear. Oh man, I would go back and forth. It was funny because giving up red meat was the hardest thing for me.
Really?
Because I was like, what am I going to eat with my wine? So it was natural, I guess, once I stopped eating the red meat,
gotcha.
I stopped drinking the red wine.
So you don't even shift to like martinis and the vodka.
I started like there in my 20s. And I'm so glad social media wasn't around back then.
Praise her.
Because I have had some moments with some martinis and margaritas
we don't need none of that.
Yeah. I graduated to wine, and now I'm just like graduating to watching people drink.
I love it.
So, you know what, we just jumped into this conversation, and we didn't even ask her to tell us about her experience, her brand.
So I'm a mother of three. I have three beautiful children, 11, 8, and 5 years old. I was on reality TV for 4 years, Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm now on radio on WPGC, as I mentioned earlier. And I started this business because people who saw me on the show saw that I was using essential oils. And they were like, I love that you're using these oils on TV. This is incredible. You should start your own line. And I was just like, what? No, just use theirs. And they're like, no, we want yours. So during the quarantine, I was like, you know what? I have time. So let me do some research and see how I could get into the business. And thank God for the time that I had, because I was able to start the business in March. And I launched that same year. I did a soft launch December 15th of 2020. And then kicked off the business 2021, January 1st. And this is our third year, and it's doing really good. It's changing people's lives. Helping people to see that you don't have to necessarily use medicine for headaches and pains and scrapes. And, you know, so it really does help relieve stress. It helps to improve your sleep. So there's so many uses and benefits of using essential oils. And if you have any questions, you can go to my website at shopmilaeve.com. It's M-I-L-A. So shopmilaeve.com. And everything you want is there. If you type in sleep in the search box, all the oils that are good for that will populate. So there's no questions. I got you covered.
I love it. I love it. If you ever have your own reality show, I'm down.
I'm there too. I miss your face and your voice and your energy. Thank you, I really appreciate that. So this is a very prophetic moment. As an environmental scientist, I tell people all the time, the chemicals that are in candles are in oils are not good for us.
Right.
I stopped wearing
perfumes.
I was the Versace wearing and all those wearing of chemicals, perfumes. But what you're doing is what we need.
Yes.
And what folks need to understand, move away. It's not about brand names. Listen to what folks are saying about essential oils.
Listen
to your body.
Well, guys, that is a wrap. A huge thank you to Matt Harmon of Harmony Wine for inviting us to have a live show right on the grounds of Days of Rosé. It was truly an unforgettable event, and we can't wait to come back next year. Also, a big thank you to all of our guests of the day, all of our winemakers, our wine professionals, and attendees who shared their opinion. There are so many more events that we can pop up at. If you are interested in hiring the Swell Suite podcast to pop up and cover your event, just email us at swellsuite@gmail.com. Cheers, everybody.